The first lesson this morning comes from the apocryphal text, Baruch, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. And just to let you know, Baruch, as a person, was the secretary and the great friend of Jeremiah. And his writings, yet so short in the Apocrypha, are very similar to Jeremiah. And all throughout the book, there's also a lot of inferences to Isaiah. And this particular text is what pretty much ends Baruch and pretty much is an inference to Isaiah. So hear now these words. Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory from God. Put on the robe of the righteousness that comes from God. Put on your head and the diadem of glory of the everlasting, for God will show your splendor everywhere under heaven. For God will give you evermore the name righteous, peace, godly glory. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height and look towards the east and see your children gathered from west and east and the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. For they went out from you on foot and led away by their enemies, but God will bring them back to you, carried in glory as on a royal throne. For God has ordered that every high mountain and the everlasting hills be made low, and the valleys filled up to make level ground, so that Israel may walk safely in the glory of God. The woods and every fragrant tree have shaded Israel at God's command, for God will lead Israel with joy in the light of His glory, with the mercy and righteousness that come from Him. This is the word of God written for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, and it is referred to as the Canticle of Zechariah, or either known as Benedictus. So let us together join in opening our hymnal and turning to page 208, and let us together read the Canticle of Zechariah. And every time you see a red R, we will join together in singing the response. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to set the chosen people free.
The Lord has raised up for us a mighty Savior from the house of David.
Through the holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
To show mercy to our forebears, and to remember the holy covenant.
This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham. Child shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way.
To give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us.
Shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet.
Will you now join me in a moment of prayer? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As we've come into the time of Advent, what more is on our minds but gifts? Yesterday, my wife and I made the mistake of going to Park Meadows. It took a half an hour to find a parking space, and I think we probably had to park about a half a mile from the actual mall. So it was an interesting day yesterday. We're in such anticipation for receiving and giving gifts. We're just like this. I could see it. I mean, when we were at the mall, people just kept walking into us. I mean, they were just so excited. They had all these bags of stuff. It's an exciting time. As we come into this time together, I would like for you to think back to either the largest gift that you have received or you have given. Think about that. So now here you are, you're sitting in here and you're wondering, why in the world did he read a text from the Apocrypha? It's not even in our Bibles in the pews. Well, this particular text is used by the Catholics and the Anglicans. And I find that it is a very fitting text for this second Sunday of Advent. As I told you before, Baruch was Jeremiah's friend, his secretary. And Baruch wrote this particular writing during the exilic period, which was during the Babylonian exile. And he was in the first flight of folks that were sent off in exile. And he wrote this text in response to hearing that Jerusalem had been destroyed. And his idea was, well, let me write this piece as a way to help heal our community and to help us be able to come together and forgive our sins. Not only that, at this time, if you know much about Jeremiah, Jeremiah was not favored by the king, Jehoiakim. And so, Baruch wrote this piece, and he actually got to recite the piece before King Jehoiakim and a lot of Israelites. And he was successful. The story goes, the folks that heard this text were so moved that it created a time of healing and rebuilding. Because up until this point, I mean, everything was destroyed. A lot of folks had been told they had to leave their homes. Things were rather grim. Not only that, apparently this peace started to help the relationship between Jeremiah and King Jehoiakim. Now you say, still might be wondering, what is so important about this text? Well, as we just heard a few minutes ago, it was about promise. It was about rebirth, rebuilding, restoration. The reason I think that this text is so fitting for this day is because for many, at the time that this was written, people thought that this Babylonian exile was it. It was over. They had screwed up so bad that God had punished them and had sent them on their way, and that was it. But that wasn't the case. And this text gives us promise that God is there with us among the existence of evil. And if all we have to do is just open our hearts and our minds, God is there. This text is not a prediction of the coming of Christ. But this text does tell us that there is a hope for the future, not to give up. Going back to gifts, what more than a wondrous gift can Baruch leave us with this beautiful lyrical writing that gives us hope, gives the folks of his day hope, but yet gives us hope that there is always something more to come, even in the face and in amongst evil that is around us. And then we hear the canticle that we read so beautifully and sung together. I think the thing that most interestingly strikes out among this text is the fact that it does not set cultural, social, and political concerns from spiritual matters. We know that there was the Persian Empire, there was the Babylonian Empire, there was the exile to Egypt. Then you have the Romans over Judah. Over and over again, these people are beaten down to a pulp. And they were looking for something. They needed a Savior, someone to save them. What I like about this text, not only is it pointing out something kind of different than our traditional worldview, is that this text gives us a moment in a very lyrical, whimsical way to reflect upon the events that happened about 100 years earlier before this text was written. It's an interesting way to start Luke. But for the folks during the time that this was written, they were expecting a Messiah, Mashiach, or Savior, to come and save them. And in their mind, they thought that their Messiah was going to come with a sword in hand and lead an army and fight the Romans, and they would take over again. They wanted this Messiah to come and be king, to be a ruler over them, be a just and righteous ruler that cares for the poor and distributes wealth and make sure that every person is cared for and is allowed to do what they please and worship the way that their God has taught them to. All of that was connected. Social, cultural, political, and spirituality. It was all one. And again, you might be thinking, okay, where's the relevance? Where is the relevance of this text to us? Well, the relevance is this. Yes, Christ was born. We know that. We have many historical documents to back it up. We have the Bible, and that's why we're here today. But both of these texts do something for us. We are broken. Man and woman alike, from the dawning of time, have always been broken. And God has been on our side. I asked you earlier to think about the greatest gift that was ever given to you. The reason I asked you to think about that is because in Advent, we spend this time together to await the coming of Jesus, to remember the story and understand the importance of why this person we call Christ came into this world. And this text reminds us that there is a piece of Christ in each and every one of us. And we can use this time to reflect on ourselves and reflect on those around us and reflect on why we come here every Sunday, why we associate ourselves with Christianity. For me, this time is a time of empowerment because I look at the teachings of Christ and I look at the writings. We've seen an exile, a promise of restoration, and here we see in this text this Benedictus, a promise of a Mashiach, a Messiah to come. And he came to help us rebuild. The United States may be a rather stable nation. But there is always time and a place for help in need. And for me,
spending this time in Advent, looking back on these texts, empower each and every one of us. We take what Christ has given us and we go forth. We go out into the community and we realize that some of our brothers and sisters are suffering, maybe going without food, or they're sick, or our brothers and sisters in Africa fighting the world's most largest epidemic in history of AIDS. Or our brothers and sisters down South and Central America who are fighting civil wars and their governments fighting against insurgents, and yet those insurgents are their working class. This time that we are together and we read these texts is such an exciting time. For as Christ is reborn again this year, so are we. 1 year we get older, 1 year we get wiser. This is such a wondrous gift that is given to us. It is there. All we must do is be open to it. Unfortunately, we know that sometimes we don't always get what we want. But in time we heal, and we are no longer broken. So instead of waiting for that huge gift on Sunday morning, stop, take a deep breath, and relax. It's coming. It's coming. There's no hurry. And until that time, allow God to take God's hand and put it upon your shoulder. May it comfort us all and empower us to help our brothers and sisters in restoration and in salvation. Let us pray. Great and gracious God, we come to you on this Sunday morning and every other Sunday because of the events that we are learning about right now. If it was not for the birth of Christ, we would not be here today. May we celebrate in that gargantuous change that you brought to us a little over 2,000 years ago. Help us to remember the gifts that you have bestowed upon us. And may those gifts that you have bestowed upon us empower us to gift our brothers and sisters in however way that you have called us to present that gift. May we never forget the works of Christ. And may the coming of our Lord be a time of joyous jubilation and a time that we remember and acknowledge that you, and by your grace, is how we are restored and where our rock and our salvation comes. And all God's children said, Amen.